Amen. Trust the tradition. Christianity did not begin with you. Oh, that was a revealing revelation, really, wasn't it? To realize that there were other Christians before you and before I. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Some people think that they invented it. You see, most of the time realize that Christianity did not begin with us, even though we think it did. But you know, that's easy for us to forget sometimes. How easy it is to forget that others have opinions and theology that are just as valid as ours. Their thoughts, their ideas. It is so easy to fall into the trap of thinking that we have all the answers, that our theology is superior, and that God is going to ask our opinion on how to judge the rest of the world. I've met a few people like that. They tell me, oh, well, you know, I know what's happening here. You know, they sound theologically, they sound profound, and when the way their voice is that you just listen to them. And sometimes what they're saying is not always truth. You see, this attitude was also prevalent to the church in which 2 Peter is written. In this predominantly Gentile church of that day, many of the first generation leaders, such as Peter, were passing away. They were dying out. The old were leaving. And false teaching is becoming more commonplace each and every day. Imagine it then. Think about our world today. Oh my goodness. False teaching is becoming more commonplace each and every day. Peter says, don't forsake your heritage. Trust the tradition. In verses 16 through 18, he reminds followers of the faith that these formative events of the faith were witnessed firsthand. Peter and others saw the power of God descend on Jesus at His transfiguration. They were there. The same power that raised Him from the dead will bring Him back for a second time. These are not cleverly invented tales. They were there. They saw this. They were the witnesses. As it says, there were a great cloud of witnesses. It was them. They saw it. Argue and debate our creeds and our theological formation, if you will. But we know what we saw. It is the power of a personal testimony. The power of a personal testimony is yours, and no one else can tell you what you did or did not see, what you did or did not feel. It's yours to own. Trust what God has done in your life. You see, we owe those who gave us such a trusted tradition a great deal. Many fulfilled their calling by sitting in a dusty corner copying down scriptures day after day, year after year. Others preserved it as a great personal price. Because of them, this wonderful tradition has survived burnings and bannings. This book that we all take for granted, that we say we're going to have, but we have 1, 2, 10, 20, however many we might have. How many times do you open them up and read them? Are they just sitting around looking pretty? Are they collecting dust? I've been surprised in my life of how many of these I've given away to people who've never owned one. We take it for granted. People paid a sacrifice so that you and I could have these, that we would have the words of God, inspired words of God for us. They've been banned, they've been burned, they've been condemned. And how can we ever repay the community of faith who gave us this book? One way is to remember that this book can only be interpreted properly within the community out of which it was born. That was verse 20, out of which it was born. Another way is to remember that the same Holy Spirit who guided its construction then is the same Holy Spirit who guides its interpretation now. The same Holy Spirit who revealed God's truth and gave men and women the power to perceive it then is alive to guide its application for you and I today. You see, here's the task of the church. Our vital mandate is to take our trusted tradition and show how it applies to our lives. Oh my goodness. How does it apply to our lives? How do we live it? How do we proclaim it? Here is where a fresh wind blows across the face of contemporary biblical study. Why have we felt compelled to make biblical truth conform to every varied whim of culture and scientific theory? Verse 19 says, why can't we simply show by God's word and deed that this stuff works? Think about it. Why can't we just say it works? Pay attention to the people around you. Pay attention to their lives. It works. A man who is drowning in a sea of alcoholism and doesn't remember how his wife got that bruise on her face doesn't need a sermon on the different views of the premillennialism. Not when he comes to hear the Word of God. We don't need to be debating the things of the church about all kinds of things like that. They need to hear God's Word. When a 16-year-old finds out that her boyfriend has lied about protection, she doesn't need to hear about current denominational controversies. How often, though, does this happen? How often, though, do we speak church words to those who are just coming wanting to hear God's Word? I have some questions about the Old Testament, she said one day. Can we talk? I have some questions too, I replied, but sure, we can talk. A frequent visitor to our church, this woman was prepared when she came into my study. She even started talking about the documentary hypothesis. And isn't that a cute word? It's a theory about the construction of the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. Now, I was shocked, but I was also wondering, why is she here? Then she came to Jonah. Did that really happen, she asked. I said, I believe the story is true. But more than that, I believe that it contains the truth. It's a story about a group of people outside of God's love who responded to God's Word when they heard it. A group of people outside of God's love who responded to God's Word when they heard it. It changed their lives. It changed their lives forever. You see, God's Word can change yours. It can change mine. Then the dam broke, and this lady began to tell me the real reason that she had come and how she needed to let God change her life. So many times people are searching. People are looking. And sometimes they come up with all kinds of wild things, wild stories. But sometimes they don't. You see, this stuff works. Let us show by our lives that this trusted tradition can turn people around. Trust the tradition that is around us. Trust God's Word always. Let us pray. Oh, great and mighty God, this day we do thank You for who You are in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You for blessing us. We thank You, Lord, for the goodness that comes our way each and every day by knowing You. And we know, Lord, we as Christians have such an opportunity and such an obligation upon us, Lord, to be the eyes and the ears, to be the witness, to be Your Word walking around, to be the one that says, here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord. Let's pay attention to the world around us. Let's look at it with new eyes. Let's be able to share each and every day, Lord, the Word that comes our way through You. And when people ask questions, don't turn them away. Don't turn them off. Wonder why they're there. And after a while, you'll get to the root of it all, and they'll begin to ask, and they'll begin to seek, and you'll begin to flow through that other person to be able to tell them what it is they want to hear. So, Lord, this day, allow us to always trust the tradition that has been passed down from us through Your wonderful Word. And allow us, Lord, to have the grace and the wisdom to interpret it and to share with those around us. So many don't need all that other stuff, the theories, the theology, and all that kind of fun stuff, and the documentaries and the millennialism and all that kind of fun stuff. We hear those words and we say, what are they talking about? Wonder why. But, Lord, we need to know where, as the old saying is, where the rubber meets the road. We need to know, Lord, where Your faith, our faith in You and the action begins. What do we do about it? How do we begin? So, Lord, teach us each and every day. And let us always, Lord, be amazed at the goodness of who You are. Because, Lord, I wonder each and every day how You could love each and every one of us for the things we have done. But, Lord, You do, and we thank You for that. So, Lord, this day, allow us Your grace and Your mercy. For it's in Your Son's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 371. and amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Know this day that our altar is always open for you to come and to share. Hymn 371, stand as we sing.